We light the candle of peace today, remembering that Jesus is the light of the world and that our hearts find peace in Him.
John 1:8-10. He Himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through Him, the world did not recognize Him.
Matthew 18-25. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
Joseph had a lot of peace after the angel came to him. He was able to take Mary to be his wife. He listened to what the angel told him and obeyed God's command, even when it was difficult.
It is not always easy to do what God asks of us. Sometimes we have to step out and have peace that He will always guide us.
But when we follow God's way, we experience the peace that passes all understanding. Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, help us to have peace in our hearts even when it is hard. Thank you that you are the light of the world and that your light will always guide us in the right direction. In Jesus' name, amen.
Welcome, everyone, to worship. At this time, we have normally a children's message, but I had the children sit in the front pew this morning because I wanted them to watch confirmation. And we're just going to talk a minute about what that is. Usually when you don't know, what is confirmation? What is that? And then you notice the Bibles over there on the chair. And confirmation is a time when you get to a certain age, usually you're 12, 13, 14, where you say, you know, my mom and dad have told me about Jesus, but I want to make that decision for myself. And so you go to a class, and this year Trevor Walker and Kelly Walker taught that class. And I guess it was Trevor, Kelly, did you teach a class too? No, Trevor taught the class. I'm sorry. So Trevor, stand up. So that's the guy that taught confirmation. They gave him a big hand. And they met during part of this service and then after, and they talked about Jesus, and they asked questions, and they learned about what that meant, and they learned about prayer, and they learned about how to live as a Christian. And then, you know, Trevor met with them, and our session met with them, and said, you know, do you want to ask Jesus into your heart? And they said, yes, we do. So that's what we're going to do right now. We're going to have, with the confirmants, please come forward. We have Troy Mita, Elizabeth Perez, Evan Shaw, Teresa Silva. Just come right up here and stand in the front pew. In the front, on the table. You guys are in the front pew. Not table, step. I can think. Okay, right there and there. And these are our confirmants. And they've gone through this class, and they've decided that they want to ask Jesus to come into their heart, to be a Christian for their own. This is their own decision. So when you get to be 12 or 13 around that age, you could do that too, all right? And that's why after this is over, we're going to give them the Bible so that they can keep reading the Bible so they can grow in their faith with Jesus. And also today, Teresa's going to be baptized. So that's exciting as well. That's good. Good to clap. Good to clap. They started clapping when I said that. I'm so impressed with all four of you because as I've been here at West Valley and watched you grow. The thing about you guys is you love to give to people. I've seen each one of you in service situations, times when you've been giving, and to me, that's a sign of the Holy Spirit in you. So I want to thank you for what you've done here at this church. We're so glad that you're here, and also thanks for going through the class and for making your faith a priority, because I know there's a lot of other things sometimes, you know, that you might want to do. And yet your faith in Christ was important enough to you to go through the class and so that you're standing here today. All right? So I'm going to ask you some questions, and they're questions that you've probably reviewed. You said you did when we were meeting before in room 15 in your class. And then Judy's going to ask some questions of the congregation. All right? Okay. So do you believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, and in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life? If so, please say, I do.
I do.
Do you confess your need for the forgiveness of sins, and with a humble and contrite heart, put your whole trust in the mercy of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord? If so, please say, I do.
I do.
Do you promise that to make diligent use of the means of grace, that's the communion and the baptism that we're going to experience today, to continue in the peace and the fellowship of the people of God, and with the aid of the Holy Spirit, to be Christ's faithful disciples to your life's end? Please, if so, please say, I do.
I do.
Do you promise to be a faithful member of this congregation, endorsing its form of government, participating in its ministry as you have done in the past but also in the future, supporting its mission, and seeking the fellowship of other Christians wherever you may be? If so, please say, I do.
I do.
All right, Judy's going to ask congregation. Teresa, do you desire to be baptized?
Yes.
Yes. Who is your Lord and Savior?
Jesus.
Why don't you come over here? Teresa, you know Jesus. You've confessed him as Lord and Savior. And now we enter this moment where you'll be baptized in his name. Teresa Silva, you are God's child. He loves you. He has chosen you from the beginning of time to follow him and be his own. I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Would you all pray with me? Lord God, thank you for Teresa, and thank you for these three other confirmants that have come before you today. Thank you for their faith in you. Thank you for what you've already begun to do in them. I pray that you would bless them and guide them in the days ahead. May they find you to be real and powerful in their lives, to do amazing things. And Lord, may we as a congregation pray for them, support them, and bless them, encouraging them to grow in their faith. Thank you for this wonderful opportunity to receive them into membership today. And we praise your name, for you are a God who is faithful and who loves each one of us. We pray this in your name. Amen. All right. Would you welcome our confirmants today? I'll just stay there a moment. And we have Bibles for each one of you. We have one for Troy and one for Elizabeth. One for, I didn't miss you, Evan and Teresa. Be sure to read that every day and know that you're loved by God and you're loved by this congregation. God bless you. Good job.
Please pray with me. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this day. Thank you for the opportunity we have to gather this morning to worship you and to lift our praises up to you. You are an awesome God, and we thank you for your continued faithfulness to us and for all the many ways you show your love to us. We praise your holy name. Particularly during this Advent season, Lord, we are so mindful of the many blessings you bestow on us. We are very grateful for our families, our friends, our church, our homes, our jobs, and for your son Jesus, who was born in that humble manger more than 2,000 years ago. Thank you for Pastor Kim and for her leadership of this church, and for all the many ministries that West Valley supports and represents. Thank you for our great music program and for the way it glorifies you. And thank you for all the work that Steve and Kim have put into planning all the Advent services. Thank you, Father, for finally bringing a new youth director to our church. As you know, the search committee worked very long and hard to find just the right person, and we are very grateful to soon be welcoming him into our church family. We realize, Lord, that we sometimes fall short of the plans and purposes that you have intended for us. We don't always act in a loving way towards our neighbors. We don't stop to lend a helping hand as often as we should. We are often too busy and rushed to notice all the beauty around us. We are not always good witnesses for you. We ask for your forgiveness this morning, Lord, as we constantly strive to be the people that you would have us be. At this time, Father, we have some requests to lift up to you. We ask for your healing powers to bless all the folks in our extended church family who are sick or injured this morning, recovering from surgery or facing surgery and other medical treatments. Especially, Father, I lift up Pat and Don Strandberg, Carol McCune, and the Tarletons, and I ask for your healing hand to touch them all and bring them comfort and freedom from pain. I ask for peace and comfort for all those who have lost loved ones in recent weeks and months. Sometimes it's really hard to celebrate during the Christmas season when our hearts are hurting because we are missing family members and friends. This morning, Father, we mourn with the families of the victims of the senseless shooting in San Bernardino earlier this week. It's so hard for us to wrap our brains around these acts of violence, and we just ask that you can find a way to bring comfort and peace to those who lost their friends and relatives. We also pray this morning that these violent and terrorist acts will stop happening, Lord. We want our world to be a safe and loving place. On a positive note, thank you so much, Father, for the young people who have completed the confirmation class and are joining our church this morning. May they reflect you and your love in every choice they make, and may they find their special place and purpose as members of our congregation. Lord, we ask a special blessing on our morning offering at this time. May our gifts please you, and may they be used to further your kingdom here and abroad. Now, would you please join me in the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Hear the foretelling of the birth of Jesus Christ and the acceptance of Mary of God's will, as told in Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called the Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed.
So I wrote the message this morning for the four of you who were confirmed. So I hope that it's meaningful to you and to everyone, of course, but specifically for those who stood up here this morning. Mary in this passage is about 13 years old, which is about the age of those of you who were confirmed this morning. She sees an angel. The word angel, it means messenger, messenger. And the angel comes to Mary, the messenger comes to Mary with a specific message. And the message is this: Mary, you're going to have a baby who's going to be the Messiah. But it's not going to happen in the regular way. Rather, it's going to happen by the power of the Holy Spirit. Mary hears this news, what the angel says, how great this is. On the one hand, she gets to be God's mom. Not bad. Not bad. And yet on the other hand, she can't help but be thinking some other thoughts as well. You saw in the text there, she was perplexed and wondered. Actually, she may have been thinking, uh-oh, women who get pregnant outside of marriage get stoned by Jewish law. How on earth is that going to work out for me? And she can't help but think, how is Joseph, to whom I am engaged, if you ever fell in love with anybody, how's he going to take this news? He'll never understand. I love Joseph. I don't want to be without him. And I think she can't help but think, what about all the plans I had for my life? I wasn't planning on being the mother of the Messiah. Never thought about it, really. I guess I'm glad. But this news now is what will define and encompass my life. I can never be normal again. Don't you think that God knew that you'd be thinking some of those things? And in the same way, God knows each of you. And he knows what your concerns are today. I don't, but he does. Mary struggled with thoughts in her mind about her life. Just like we all do. What am I going to do? What about this? What about that? We struggle with concerns and issues that keep us up at night or pull us down sometimes. So God sent the messenger to her, Mary, essentially to say three things to her. And I hope you can take these three things with you this morning. The first thing the angel says is, do not fear. As much as God wanted Mary to follow him without fear, so he wants you to do the same. The four of you who are confirmed this morning, that you've confirmed your faith in God, but it hasn't been by accident. Okay? You have been led and guided and brought to this place today because God brought you. He's guided you all along, just like he came to Mary and had a plan for her. So God had a plan for you. And you've made the most important decision of your life. You've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And it's the greatest decision you can ever make, because every other decision we make is for this life alone. But when you make a decision for Jesus, it's an eternal decision, because it lasts in this life, but also in the next. So we don't have to fear death. That's the first thing. But we also don't have to fear life. God says to you, Teresa, Elizabeth, Troy, Evan, I've got you now. Trust me. And whatever you're going through right now, whatever troubling thoughts you might have in your mind, just like Mary had in hers, whatever doubts or concerns about life or people or circumstances, don't be afraid. I've got you. You belong to me now. I'm faithful. I'm your advocate. I'm your friend. I'll never let you down. I wanted to share with you that I did an amazing thing yesterday. I went with Bill Jones, the guy that stood up and talked about ushers. He doesn't just do ushers. He does other things, too. I went with him in his glider. I don't know if any of you know what if you don't know what a glider is. It is an airplane without an engine. No engine in there, folks. You get in and you ride inside of it. Yeah, there it is. Now, I would never do this normally. So you get into this thing, you're really close to the ground, and then you have this plane with an engine that tows you by a rope up into the sky. Do you know this? Grace is Bill's mom. I don't want to, upset you. This is what your son is doing. So you're towed through the air. And then all of a sudden, the rope goes away. The plane is gone, the one with the engine. And you're in this airplane with no end, up there in the sky, thousands of feet off the ground, with nothing but the air to hold you up. Yeah, I just wanted to prove to you I did this, because I didn't know if you'd believe me. But I did. So that's why. But you know what? I wasn't afraid. You know why? Because I trust Bill. He's an amazing pilot. He's taught other people to be pilots, how to fly. I completely trusted his ability, even though going off in a plane with no engine, for someone who didn't know and trust Bill, could have been very scary. You know, I asked him just before we went if I had offended him in anything I said in a sermon or anything, just to be sure. I put my life in Bill's hands yesterday, and he didn't let me down. Would I have gone up if he hadn't been with me in that plane? Never, never. So when you give your life to Christ, that's essentially what you're doing, putting your life in Jesus' hands. As Mary said, let it be to me according to your word. Essentially, let it be to me according to your plan for my life. I surrender to you. I give my life, my plans, my will over to you. Because I'm just mortal. I'm just temporary. You're eternal. Your eternal life-giving, healing hands is where I want to be, not my own mortal, frail, sinful hands. And all these folks here at West Valley Conference can tell you with me that there's no better place to put your life. There's a lot of other things and people that you can trust to get you through life, but they will always let you down. But when you put your life in God's hands, which you've just done by your confession of faith, when you do that, you put your life in the hands of the God of Jesus Christ, who gave his life for you. You don't need to be afraid. So as soon as you make that decision, he's got you. And he says, don't be afraid. Trust me, and I will pilot you through life. The second thing that the angel says to Mary is the Holy Spirit will come upon you. That was the Holy Spirit working in the situation that made Jesus coming and transforming the world possible. It wasn't Mary trying so hard to get pregnant, to be the mother of God. The Holy Spirit was doing this. And so for Mary and for you, now that you've received Jesus, the rest is an act of the Holy Spirit. So today I want to encourage you to get to know the Holy Spirit in your journey of faith. The Holy Spirit in the Bible is often compared to wind or to power. There's this great scripture passage that says it's not by your power, our own strength, or by your might, our own resolutions to be good and try so hard, but it's by my Spirit that all is accomplished, says the Lord. Now, do you know why I'm not dead today? You know why Bill's a good pilot? Because he knows the wind. He knows the wind. He's sometimes up there for 6 or 7 hours at a time. And he's driving this thing. He's telling me about the wind. And he's saying, you got to find where the air currents are. You got to recognize them. He said, when there's a cumulus cloud, it's because there's heat rising from the rock. And if you're in a glider, you go toward those clouds because the heat will lift you up. He knows the wind. In Scripture, the Holy Spirit's often compared to the wind. And the Christian life is about learning to soar. Not trying so hard to be good on our own strength. We will burn out real fast if we do it that way. But after Jesus left this earth, he says to his disciples, I'm going to give you this great gift. It's the Holy Spirit. It's my presence with you always to give you the power to live the Christian life so you don't have to try so hard. So I want to encourage you, as you take communion, some of you may be taking it for the first time. If you've been confirmed, some of you not. But ask for the Holy Spirit. Say, Holy Spirit, God, give me your Holy Spirit. May your Holy Spirit come upon my heart today. And over time, you'll begin to recognize his presence through daily prayer, scripture reading, participating in worship and praise here. And as you do, you will be able to hear his voice, follow his leading, and recognize that it is his power at work in you that makes all the difference. Not your own efforts, and it will allow you to live the Christian life victoriously and to soar. And finally, the angel says to Mary, nothing is impossible with God. Do you believe that? Nothing is impossible with God. If someone randomly asked me, do you believe a plane can fly up in the sky with no engine? I would have said, no way, impossible. But it is possible when you are with a good pilot who knows the wind. And the same is true of the Christian life. When God's got us in his grip after we've accepted him, and he is the pilot, and we follow the Holy Spirit, who knows, and we learn to know the ways of the wind, nothing is impossible. And see, I believe that the four of you who were confirmed this morning, you were created by God for a purpose. And he has a wonderful plan for your life. The road will always be easy, but it wasn't easy for Mary either. But she persevered, and Jesus was born, and she got to be his mom. And the road won't always be easy as it wasn't easy for Mary. It's not going to be easy for you always either. But I believe that God has a plan for each of you. And I want you to ask yourself, do I have a dream? Do I have an aspiration? Because if you do, it could well be that God put that deep inside of you. Because when God calls you to do something, he also created you for that purpose in the beginning. So his call on your life ought to resonate with who you are deep inside. So if you feel the calling of God to do something in your life, whether it's going to be an occupation later on or something for someone in need right now. And that dream might seem impossible to others. Let me encourage you to keep at it, because nothing is impossible with God. I don't want anybody to steal your dreams. If God is calling you to do something for Him, yes, you need to pray about it. Check it out with other Christians and your parents who can pray for and with you. But then go for it. Don't let anyone limit that calling. Don't let circumstances weigh you down. Bring whatever obstacles you see to God in prayer, because nothing is impossible with God. Nothing. One of the ways to test out our calling is this great phrase that Dallas Willard coined. He said, God's calling on our life is where your greatest joy meets the world's greatest need. So ask yourself, what is my greatest joy? And then ask yourself, where do I see the world's greatest need? And where those things overlap, you answer those two questions, where those things overlap, often it's your calling. When God calls us and we say, let it be to me according to your word, your plan, as Mary did and as the four of you did today in giving your life to Christ, find meaning. We find purpose. We find fulfillment because we're giving ourselves back to the one who created us for that purpose to begin with. We actually find ourselves when we give ourselves to God's purpose for our lives and to His calling. So today, as we approach this table, we're reminded that Jesus gave His life because He was following the call of God and God's purpose for Him, starting with being born of Mary of 13 years old, who also dared to give her life to God's purpose for her, that she was to nurture and raise the one who would bring healing, salvation, and hope to so many millions of people. Who would have thought it would happen that way? A lot of people would have said, it's impossible. Not so. Nothing is impossible with God. And God has a purpose and a plan for you too. I encourage you all to ruthlessly follow God's call on your life without fear. By the power of the Holy Spirit, get to know Him. Remembering that nothing, absolutely nothing, is impossible with God. Would you pray with me? Lord God, thank You for Your promise to us and the fact that You have called us to be Your people. I thank You for the four confirmants that have received You. Oh Lord, I pray that they would be able to live the Christian life without fear, get to know the movement of Your Holy Spirit, and respond to Your call in their lives. Thank You that You did this for us. You said You only did what You saw the Father doing, and You poured out Your life for us. We celebrate this at the table today. We thank You for Your sacrifice, loving us that much. Lord, may we give ourselves to others as You have given Yourself to us. Thank You, Lord. May You set these elements apart from a common to a sacred use, these means of grace, that we might find You in this time. In Jesus' name, amen. On the night in which He was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it, and He gave it to His disciples, and He said, take, eat. This is My body broken for you. Eat this as often as you would in remembrance of Me. In the same way, after He supped, Jesus took the cup, and He said, this cup is the new covenant in My blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Drink ye all of it. For as often as you eat the bread and you drink the cup, you remember My death until I come again. So ministering to you in Christ's name, we give you the bread and the cup. All who have received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior are invited to participate in this supper. Friends, these are the gifts of God for the people of God. Let us partake joyfully together.
While Trevor takes a second to get set up here, I do want to say from both of us and from Joe Silva and Katie Oxnam, we want to thank you for your support of our youth group, particularly our four kids who got confirmed today, Teresa, Elizabeth, Evan, and Troy. And I do want to encourage you to make an effort to get to know each one of them individually. You may know their families. You may have known them since they were young. But please, please do reach out to them and get to know who they are as people and as members of this church and as children of the Lord. Amen.
And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.